Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's Thursday, August 25th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians wake up this morning in Seattle. Four games ahead of Minnesota in the American League Central Division. And just, you know, really, this is a position that nobody thought they would be in at this point with about 40 games left in the season. How did they get here and how did they stay here? And how do they, you know, continue this run into the postseason?
Yeah, this is a great run, Joe. It's a great story, really, when you think about it. This is a team that did nothing at the trade deadline except send Sandy Leon to the Twins, who were in first place at that time. They did nothing, really nothing over the offseason, you know, as far as trades or free agent acquisitions go, you know, with the exception of maybe Brian Shaw. And here they are, you know, they're... They are, you know, 66-56, 10 games over 500 for the first time this season. And they're four games ahead of the Twins and White Sox. Just a good story. You know, they've started 14 rookies have made their big league debuts on this club. And they just keep rolling, Joe. They got off to a great start on this trip by sweeping San Diego in a two-game set, and now they're really going to get tested here, I think, in Seattle.
Yeah, let's take a look at that San Diego series before we jump in on the Mariners. It was a little bit of a departure for this team. They used solo home runs. They hit five of them in two games in San Diego. Two of them yesterday by Jose Ramirez. Really, that's the formula that sort of worked for them early in the season when they found success, was Jose Ramirez sort of driving that offense. He had three hits in the game yesterday. Two of them left the ballpark. He victimized Blake Snell in the first inning, and then again in a big five-run fourth inning. The Guardians sent seven men to the plate, and really it was sort of that, you know, pass the baton sort of offense. Oscar Gonzalez also hit a home run. He smoked a ball off of the warehouse in left field, and just an all-around great performance by the offense. And then Cal Quantrill came out, and against his former club, the team that drafted him in the first round, he was dominant over seven innings and didn't allow a run.
Yeah, seven innings by Quantrill. The bullpen closed it out. And Joe, we were talking before yesterday's podcast about how quiet Ramirez had been, or how, you know, he kind of just blends into the background. And all of a sudden, you know, he hits two home runs in his first two plate appearances, gets a single and adds a sacrifice fly. And the game before that, he drove in, you know, an insurance run with a single. So like you said, hopefully, you know, he's getting into a groove here and can carry, you know, the Guardians for these last 40 games here.
Yeah, if he gets hot like he was in the first half of the season, or the first, you know, month and a half of the season, then there's no telling what the Guardians can do. Who else should we talk up like that? Who else should we, you know, sort of speak into existence in terms of their dominance. Tristan McKenzie, Stephen Kwan for this series. Let's talk them up so that they have a good series against Seattle. I think that would be appropriate. But just to continue on that San Diego series, they really sort of caught the Padres, who are a playoff team. They are a good team. They sort of caught them. I don't want to say with their pants down, but they caught them at a bad time. Juan Soto didn't play in the two game series because of a sore back, and really this is a San Diego team that's they go out and they get Josh Hader at the trade deadline, and he comes over and he's done nothing for them, and Josh Bell really hasn't clicked in and done much at the plate for them, so. They really the Guardians really took advantage of a San Diego team that wasn't playing its best baseball after this massive trade deadline where they made all these moves.
Yeah, definitely. When you see Hader pitching in a 7-0 game, you know something's wrong. And Owen Miller gets a hit off him, so there's something amiss with that guy, because he's got a great arm. And then Fernando Tatis, that disaster blows up in their face just before Cleveland arrives in San Diego. So probably not a lot of good vibes in San Diego right now. And Joe, I was just Quantrill really kind of continued a great trend by the starting pitching since August 6th. The starters have a 2.09 ERA and have gone 7-3. And in those 16 games, that covers 16 games, the Guardians have gone 12-4. So, starting pitching is starting to drive this team just like we thought it would at the start of the season, but really didn't necessarily turn out that way until this stretch.
And you got it both ways in that two-game series because Aaron Civale went short in his start. He only lasted 3 1/3, he didn't go deep into the game early. They needed 4 1/3 innings out of the bullpen in Tuesday's game. And then the other side of it, Quantrill goes and goes out there and says, hey, we used some arms on Tuesday. I'm gonna get you to the eighth inning, where you only need two guys to finish the day off, and Shaw and De Los Santos come out and are solid, yesterday. So really that it sets Terry Francona up for, this series, at least for the first couple of games of this series in Seattle, where he's got his bullpen lined up and everybody's going to be fresh and ready and sharp. And that really bodes well for the Guardians as they move forward.
Yeah, definitely. And, that bullpen has been, really strength of the team all season, but like the rotation, it's kind of shined in August. They're 6-1 with a 2.10 ERA and 7 saves and 7 chances. You've got Karinchak, Hedges, Arhenkis, and Sandlin working on scoreless inning streaks.
Yeah. They're all up there. 13, 14. I think, Karinchak hasn't been scored on in 17 or 18, outings or something like that. It's been remarkable to see how these young guys in this bullpen have been able to come out and perform. Nick Sandlin has been outstanding. He came back from, a couple of weeks in Columbus and has been a revelation in terms of just the way he's been used out of the pen. His command, he found his command in Columbus, and that's what Terry Francona said. Even with all the movement and all of the histrionics with his delivery that he's got, if he focuses and just tries to get in the zone, his stuff is good enough to beat a lot of guys. And that's what we saw, especially in Tuesday's win.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, his side armor with, he kind of throws a wiffle ball slider, and he's really tough on right-handers, just kind of dominates them. And, and Francona has let him face some lefties too. So, that's got to bode well for them going forward. He could be, kind of their guy, a guy that kind of comes out and could pitch him in the sixth, seventh, eighth inning, kind of a matchup guy. So that's an exciting development.
Yeah, he's getting maybe the innings in the leverage situations that Eli Morgan had been getting. Before Eli Morgan sort of started to take a step back. earlier. So, the trip to San Diego, just an overwhelmingly good one. I'll tell you, the guys love playing in San Diego, and they'll be right back there next year, thanks to this new schedule that came out. And the Guardians will play all 29 other teams in Major League Baseball next season. Everybody's on the schedule. Everybody gets a shot at the Guardians, and the Guardians get a shot at them. And Terry Francona likes it. He says the more balanced schedule is more fair to the teams, especially with the wild card being part of the equation now, the expanded wild card at least.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The division games, instead of playing like 76 division games, you're going to 52. There's going to be a big jump in interleague games from 20 to 46. And, like you said, Joe, they're going to be, I think the travel is going to be, a little different. I mm-hmm. think there's like 4-7 game trips and, it definitely is, the emphasis, I think the emphasis is still going to be on division play. But, it balances out, like you were saying, the teams Cleveland, for example, taking advantage of a weak AL Central, they're going to have to play more of the AL West and the AL East, and you're going to get a better, a fairer read on the playoff, the playoff positioning for teams.
Yeah, you're going to have to play games against the National League East, which is a team that they wouldn't normally have seen, every year. So, the better competition is going to be out there, and it's not going to be, just the teams in the American League East beating up on each other, and then, for 19 games apiece per team. So, yeah, I like the variety. I like the ability to go and see every team. The NBA does it. It's successful in the NBA. The NFL has a good rotation with their schedule. It's kind of harder to do, face every team in the NFL. So you try to get them within a 4-year span with their rotations, and you pretty much do. So, it'll be interesting to be able to see some more parks and get out there and get familiar with a lot more. It's remarkable that the Guardians were in San Diego for the first time in 17 years. That's crazy. The last time that they were there was 2005. And, Terry Francona liked it. He talked about it at length and said that was all right. Another thing that we need to mention, John Adams, the Guardians, the Cleveland longtime drummer who sits in the bleachers and bangs his bass drum, and he's done it since 1973. In recent years, he hasn't been able to because of health concerns. But John Adams inducted into the Guardians Distinguished Hall of Fame. Big news for the club and for John Adams, and can't think of a better guy to be honored that way. The Guardians recognizing one of their biggest fans.
Yeah, that's a great move by them. They're putting a bronze replica of his drum and his bench in the Heritage, in the Hall of Fame and the Heritage Center. I think it's the
Heritage Park out in center.
Heritage Park in center field. So that's really cool. I feel good for John. One of the first stories I ever did for the Plain Dealer was on John Adams, Joe, when Peter Bavese was the GM of the Indians, and he was thinking of shutting down the bleachers, because it made it, the stadium was so big, the old stadium, and no one was sitting there. He wanted to bring the crowd closer to home plate. But so I went up and talked to John Adams, and he goes, guys like Bavese come and go. This is my team. And, and he was right. Bavese came and went, but John Adams, thankfully, is still hanging around.
Yeah. I love it. When they moved over to the new ballpark and Jacobs Field, Progressive Field, and he basically took his same perch out there in his spot. And eventually they put a camera out there. That's how you know you're a part of something, an institution. They put a camera over your seat so that the camera can see you and cut to you during a broadcast and watch you bang your drum when you're out there. That's That's pretty cool that, you know, he's been involved in a lot of really cool things that not the average fan would ever be able to do, just because, you know, just because one day he decided to bring his drum and bang it on the bleachers. It's just really cool the way that turned out for him. And you know, couldn't be happier, nicer. Couldn't be a nicer guy to have that happen to. So congratulations to John. Looking ahead now in Seattle here, gorgeous city. Boy, this place is. This is amazing. This is a great place to see a baseball game when the weather's nice. What are we expecting from the Guardians in this fight now? Seattle is a playoff team. They're in position right now in the wild card, and this is a good club. You know, you can't take these guys lightly, and the Guardians face them 7 times over their next 12 games.
Yeah, this is going to be a good test. Former Indians right-hander Jerry DePoto, the GM, has really put, you know, he's trading Jerry, man. He finally, you know, he makes more trades than anybody, and I think he finally has the right combination of players, pitchers. They're doing a, you know, they made a great run last year, a late run. They didn't make it, but this year they're well positioned to get into the postseason, and they're going to be a handful for anybody, Joe.
Yeah, you talk about the Mariners. You got to first talk about rookie sensation Julio Rodriguez, an all-star, a home run derby finalist. This kid is electric. He's fun to watch out there in the outfield. But the Guardians have their own rookie outfielder who's been pretty awesome, and Stephen Kwan. Is it easy to sort of fall into a thinking where this is the series of Kwan versus Rodriguez, and is this the make or break rookie of the year series? Because a lot of the national media, you know, hasn't really followed, or I should say, hasn't really touted Stephen Kwan as, you know, a serious contender for the rookie of the year, you know, award. We know in Cleveland that he is, but it's every time you look up, it's Adley Rutschman or Julio Rodriguez, Rutschman in Baltimore. Can Stephen Kwan open up some eyes here with a good series against the Mariners?
Yeah, I think he can, Joe. You know, Rodriguez certainly got a lot of play from the, you know, being in the All-Star game in the home run derby. But Kwan, you know, to the baseball purist, you know, he's had a great, great year. I mean, you take away May from this guy and, you know, he's sailing. He's been cruise control. Even yesterday with that you know, kind of check swing, mm-hmm. two-run single down the left field line. I mean, just a big, big hit in a big situation. He's been doing that all year, and he's played great defense. You know, I haven't seen Rodriguez, you know, defensively, but, you know, I mean, you know, Kwan has proven himself to be a two-way player. The only thing he doesn't do is hit home runs. So, sure. You know, but he's the ideal leadoff hitter.
Right, yeah. The moment has never seemed too big for Stephen Kwan, even though there have been so many of those moments so far this year. So it'll be great to see, you know, how they match up and how they compare throughout this 4-game series. We're going to get an extended look at them here in Seattle. But, you know, it's not just Julio Rodriguez on this Mariners squad. They've got Ty France is having a monster year. Mitch Haniger is back, and he's always a thorn in the in Cleveland's side. Eugenio Suarez, who came over from Cincinnati, is always a tough out for Cleveland pitchers. Also Jesse Winker, who's you know, in and out of the lineup there. So you know, they can beat you in a number of ways, but really their starting pitching is where they're sort of built. You know, they've got Logan Gilbert going against Shane Bieber tomorrow, but today's matchup, Tristan McKenzie versus lefty Marco Gonzalez. Gonzalez is actually, you know, pretty solid.
Yeah, Gonzalez has been around. You know, he faced the Guardians a lot when he was pitching for Toronto, so they're familiar with him. You know, that should be a good matchup. I would think. You know, the Guardians, you know, probably should have a little bit of an edge there. But the rest of the series is a toss-up, Joe. I really think so. This is, you know, I love the way they started this trip, you know, the sweep in San Diego. Now they got to, you know, they got to finish it off here.
Yeah, I think the bullpen is definitely going to have to step up and step forward again if they're going to win some of these games in the second half of this series. You've got Zach Plesac going against Luis Castillo, who they brought over from Cincinnati, and Aaron Civale in the getaway game matched up against Robbie Ray, who's, you know, as good as anybody. So, it looks like on paper these are some pretty tough matchups for the Guardians. But we'll see how these first two games play out. Tristan McKenzie on a serious roll, 9-9, 3.31 ERA, but that doesn't really tell you how dominant he's been lately. So we'll see if he can continue that. In T-Mobile Park is a pitcher friendly park, so we'll see what the odds are there.
Yeah, definitely. McKenzie's had, his numbers are better than his record are, don't you think? Sure. I mean, he's had a couple of weird starts. Oh, yeah. I mean, the one in Toronto, he gives up two home runs and loses. The solo home run kind of comes back and bites him all the time. But his numbers, other than that, Joe, other than a home run, it's hard to get a hit off this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the op? The opposition's hit like 198 against him.
Yeah, earlier in the season, he was the master of giving up like two or three total hits and still losing a game by a run, which makes no sense. But it also makes sense because the young offense and the young Guardians lineup, it sometimes they can get held down. That's why this series is so scary, because, you know, they might have to win a couple of games 3-1 or, 4-3 or something like that. So hopefully the offense can come through for him. But McKenzie's been lights out just over the last month and a half. Every time he takes the ball, you got ace sort of vibes from him. So it shouldn't be too worried about that. All right, Hoynes, we're going to wrap it up here from Seattle. We will be back with you again tomorrow to talk about the first game of this series and how things are going to play out over the weekend here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.